More trouble for TikTok with a product it's only just launched. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain in for Liana today. Great, as always, to have your company first thing in the morning. Yes, the European Union has given TikTok 24 hours to hand over information about a new version of the app that pays people to view videos. The company says it will respond to the request, which was prompted by fears about the technology's effect on children. The BBC's Stephanie Prentice explains more.
In short, EU officials want a risk assessment of this new version of TikTok. It's called TikTok Lite. It's a slimmed-down version of the usual platform, and it pays users for things like watching, liking, and commenting on videos. That sort of incentive has the obvious potential to keep people on the app, using it longer. And crucially, one French newspaper, Le Monde, they tested out this feature and said users can't just search anything to get those rewards. They have to watch what's suggested to them, bringing into question what's being curated and why. On top of this new offering, there's already this open dialogue in many countries about the impact of TikTok and other apps on children, as well as whether tech like this is addictive. On TikTok's side, they've said they will respond to the EU's request. It seems like France and Spain, where this is being trialled, is a bit of a trial of sorts. It's not planning to launch it anywhere else in Europe. The maximum screen time to be eligible for this reward system is 1 hour per day, and users can't earn more than $1 a day.
The BBC's Stephanie Prentice there. Well, let's stick with the European Union, because the 27-nation bloc's leaders are meeting in the Belgian capital, Brussels, right now to tighten sanctions on Iran following its attack on Israel last weekend. The president of the European Council, Charles Michel, said it was important to do everything to isolate Iran.
We condemn this attack launched by Iran against Israel. We have decided to put sanctions against Iran. This is a clear signal that we want to send. And we also want to do everything to protect the civilians.
Well, the need for those tightened sanctions perhaps illustrated as we check the numbers now. Because Iran's exporting more oil than at any other time in the past 6 years. That's according to data this morning from Vortexa. Most of that oil being sold to China, apparently. The price of that oil, though, off those recent highs. Brent crude this morning trading at $87 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate at $82 a barrel. We're continuing to get extraordinary pictures and stories coming out of the Gulf, where the worst rains in 70 years, according to officials, continue to batter the region. Residents in Dubai have told the BBC, for example, of being trapped in shopping malls by flash flooding, whilst the world's second busiest airport, the key hub airport, Dubai International, is warning passengers not to travel until their flight is confirmed. Kanish Kumar Badman is one of those stranded passengers trying to get home to India.
I'm flying from Paris. Dubai is our layover where we were supposed to connect to another flight, which was supposed to take us to Kolkata, India. There are hundreds and thousands of other passengers just like me who have been waiting for 10 hours, 16 hours, some even for 24 to 30 hours.
And you can check out some of those pictures on the BBC website. Now it's time for our latest slice of life in one of the world's smallest nations, the tiny Pacific island of Palau. Tourism accounts for roughly half the nation's economy, but the industry was badly hit by COVID and is still struggling to kickstart flights to bring back key tourists from places like South Korea and the United States, as the BBC's Frey Lindsay reports.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, good.
This is the MK Hotel and Restaurant on Malakal Island in Palau, a small island nation in Micronesia in the Western Pacific Ocean. Tyler Shin is the owner.
We have our own private beach.
So this is kind of amazing. I'm looking at the kind of beach that looks like you would see on a postcard.
The amazing view, yeah, is right. Yeah.
Tyler specializes in diving tours, and before the pandemic, he catered mostly to Korean clients.
Pre-COVID is usually I'm, you know, capacity of the rooms, like 80% per month is fully from the Korea. Yeah.
It's been several years since the pandemic, and in Palau, a country of under 20,000 people, tourism operators like Tyler are still waiting for a full recovery. In 2019, Palau received around 90,000 tourists. In 2022, less than 10,000. Driving around the main island of Koror, my taxi driver Daniel told me how things had changed.
Do you get a lot of do you drive a lot of tourists, or mostly locals?
Not really.
Right. Did you have more tourists before?
Before pandemic?
Yeah, was it better then?
Yeah, of course. It was really good.
One of the main things dragging on recovery is that direct flights to Palau have been very slow to restart. There used to be 4 direct flights from Korea per week, but now Koreans typically have to go through Taiwan, and the extra travel time is putting off a lot of people.
They just getting for the 10 days of vacation, they can try to the 6 days diving in here.
The tourism minister, Nirai Balasmatul, told me he's been working with various countries, including Korea, to try to get regular flights up and running again. But the problem is that given Palau's size, it's low on a lot of carriers' priorities.
As soon as they started flying out, they wanted to start with the bigger markets, right? So obviously Koreans, Japan is one of the number one destinations, and you got Singapore, then you've got Europe and the U.S. So, you know, those markets obviously got a bulk of the flights. And we are typically at the end of that sort of discussion.
Flights and arrivals have been picking up slowly, but many tourism operators are wary of letting too many people back in at once and seeing their precious natural resources get used up.
I think we're always going to be catering and marketing ourselves towards the tourists that are respectful.
Ivory Vogt is a Palauan sustainable tourism consultant.
The desire for more money is not necessarily the primal driver for us as Palauans to succeed in business. And so that's why, like, maybe we're not kind of thinking about this endless growth model of tourism.
Tourism Minister Matul says he's pursuing strategies of spreading out tourism around the islands, while at the same time trying to create different strata of tourism services to bring in more revenue without increasing potentially ruinous footfall.
I'm the BBC's Frey Lindsay for Marketplace.
Yeah, and you can get another slice of Palau Life from Frey on the programme tomorrow. And if you've missed any, listen back to the podcast. Thanks so much for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.